guys. Welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham. Hey, Erica.
Hey.
Has it been as sweaty there in New York as it's been here?
Yeah, but I'll take it because it was like 48 degrees and raining for like two straight weeks.
It really was.
I think it's going to be 70 this weekend. It was 90 yesterday. That was crazy. But
yeah, I kind of told you there was one day where we got, I mean, I think it was like 2 inches of rain almost. And we saw some in our lovely house from 1688. We saw a little bit of water pouring down the interior living room wall.
I need to talk about that.
and we were like, oh no, that's not cute or charming in the normal, you know, quirkiness of the house. Like that's alarming a little bit. So pretty happy for some dry weather and the sun.
Yeah. Remind me to ask you about that when we start recording.
I think a lot of people don't know you actually kind of work. You're my go-to with like kind of house insurance. So you're really well versed in ice dams. Taught me all about ice dams.
Ice dams? Yeah. I taught Andy about ice dams. You're welcome, Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my full-time big girl job is property insurance. Very boring, very useful.
But not really when you explain it. I was like kind of sitting fascinated when you were drawing your little diagram
of
ice dams.
I'm very emphatic. I'm just like,
it was impressive.
Let me tell you, I'm like a used car salesman. Let me tell you why you should care about ice dams. Fill a sock full of anyway. So,
well, you make it interesting. It's a special skill.
Thank you.
So yeah, today's episode's a little bit different. We're going off of a listener's question. So I love when we get questions from all the listeners out there. Keep sending them
Ask us questions. Yeah, I love that.
Ask us questions.
No weird questions.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
You can't ask. Wait, no, there's no such thing as a bad question. That's what I mean to say.
Yeah. Yep. And so keep sending them in. You know, notanotheranxietyshow@gmail.com. We love answering them. So today we're gonna take off with one of them. So I am just going to start by reading it. I have it right here, just pulling it up. So I'm going to just start with our, you know, anonymous listener here. And they said, there are so many things that help with anxiety for different people at different times. What do you feel may be a single major thing that lessens the suffering anxiety can bring on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really like this because we say it time and time again that, you know, there's no one single approach, no one single supplement, no one single anything, no one size fits all that kind of gets us to the place where we're looking to get. But it did cause me to pause and reflect a little because there has been so much growth and so many resources that contributed to moving past anxiety. So, for me, I was like, you know, what was the real game changer? What was the real game changer? Kind of chatted with Andy about it, thought about it, and asked my oh-so-lovely co-hosts to do the same. And five of us might have five different answers. So we all may have different answers to, like, what's the big game changer? And we'd love to hear from other people out there, too. Like, if something comes to mind about, like, if you could share, you know, the most enlightening, biggest aha moment or realization that you've had, say you had a minute or two to share it with a friend or something, you know, what would you share? And you can send us those, you know, again, notanotheranxietyshow@gmail.com, and we can share them in a follow-up episode. But for now, I think Eric and I are just gonna go ahead and share what our biggest game changer realization was. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go
Absolutely,
first?
Absolutely, I don't want to go first. Because when you asked me this question, you were like, if you had in one sentence, if you had an elevator speech for telling somebody the biggest game changer.
What's an elevator speech? I don't know what that is. Is this an idiom?
Oh, it's like when you, I don't know if it's an idiom, but it's when you pitch something, like pitch a book or pitch a product, and you're in an elevator with somebody and you only have this much, you know, the length of time of a quick elevator ride to explain whatever you need to explain to somebody. It's an elevator speech.
I'm going to butcher that in the future.
All right.
I like that though, because, and I think this is why I was somewhat drawn to this question, is because I am, what is it? An elevator speech, you said?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay. I am the worst at elevator speeches. It's hard for me to kind of like keep it simple, keep it concise. So I think that's why, you know, I liked this. I was really drawn to it. And you can't copy my answer, though, if I go first.
Ditto? Well, all right.
I'm kidding.
But you can copy mine if I go first?
Yeah, if I want to.
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Okay, I'll go first then. So for me, the biggest game changer was when I realized that, and we kind of covered this in a few episodes ago with guest Crystal Celtrelli. She came on, and this was really the theme of the conversation. But for me, the biggest game changer was realizing that the thinking about a situation, circumstance, or emotional state is what really perpetuated suffering and kept anxiety looming around, kind of like, you know, this 2 weeks of rain and cold that we had before this, that really kept the weather pattern in a holding pattern. So this applies to anxiety, this applies to anything in the world. And I'll kind of share a personal example of what I mean here. So I've probably mentioned on the show a couple times, I think again, like when Crystal was on and maybe with you, Erica, I have a really lazy thyroid, so it doesn't make enough thyroid hormones. It's just sluggish and lazy. And
nice to your thyroid.
Stupid thyroid, yeah. So that thyroid's a little lazy. And so I actually take, you know, replacement hormone therapy so that I get enough thyroid hormones, because it affects a lot of really important things like metabolism and whatnot. And I actually found out, so a lot of people that have hypothyroidism, especially in like the Western world where we have a sufficient supply of iodine, you know, in the developing world, thyroid problems are usually the result of just, you know, lack of iodine. But for here, we get usually plenty of iodine. It's in our salt and a lot of things. And I came to find out, oh, you know, your hypothyroidism or your underactive thyroid is caused by an autoimmune condition. And you can just imagine when I kind of heard this, my brain got a little busy. So I didn't catch it. You know, it was good and busy for probably 20 minutes where I'm like, I'm going to research like Hashimoto's. That's what it's called, the autoimmune, you know.
It's a
Japanese name. I know. It's a Japanese name. It's named after a Japanese man. And so, you know, what did I do? Like, I'm going to crush this autoimmune. Like, okay, what's the perfect diet? You know, right. What is this all about? How do I, you know, and that's somewhat productive and helpful. But then, you know, it was getting kind of late. I was done researching and my mind was spinning. It was like, are you going to have to take medication forever? Oh my God, you read that if you have one autoimmune disease, you're more likely to get another one. Like, autoimmune is scary. And then I had this thought. This was the thought that woke me up. You'll love it because it has to do with zombies. this is the thought that kind of woke me up from my thinking. I was like, oh my God, if there's a zombie apocalypse, you're one of those people, like, you'll have to scour for medication. Like, if there's a zombie apocalypse, you're screwed. Like, there's no constant supply of the medication. You'll feel like crap. And then I was like, whoa. It was like a wake-up call. I was like, there is literally nothing wrong right now. Like, my thyroid it's perfectly functioning. It's well-managed. There's nothing wrong right now except for me thinking about zombie apocalypses. And I'm getting kind of tense and worked up and again, that's not really an example of anxiety, but just an everyday situation. Now, I saw this anxiety time and time again. Say I had a panic attack for the 100th time working out. Instead of just doing my best to move through the workout, do as much as I could, and then, you know, feel that panic, feel that anxiety, let it move through me, let it do its thing, and then just move on when it was done, I would think about the current circumstance. Like, oh my God, can't even work out compared to what I used to be able to do. Like, how am I going to fix this? How am I ever going to be able to hike again? Like, what's wrong with me? All that thinking. And this after the panic had passed, like really the awful moment, the discomfort, the quote unquote problem was not happening in that moment. In fact, the fact that panic passed, you know, thinking brain's allowed to come on then. So then I can kind of assess and judge and all those things. So the fact that I'm able to think in that way, you know, like assess the situation, judge it, mull it over, ruminate, that's an indication like, okay, the storm, the big storm has passed. And so it was spending time in that place that kept the weather pattern, because it inadvertently, I had the best intentions. I just wanted to beat this anxiety thing. So what are we taught? You know, think it through, you know, overanalyze, throw all your focus at it. And really it becomes a bit like quicksand in that state. Like the harder we struggle, the faster we sink, the harder we struggle to figure it out. And that was the big game changer, because when I wasn't thinking about my current circumstance or thinking about my thinking, you know, like, oh, why did I think that? That's so weird. Like, God, I thought I was over this. If I wasn't indulging that, I started to notice the weather pattern would lift a lot faster. And that was my first cue. Like, I didn't trust it at first. It was really hard to let go of analyzing or ruminating about a current circumstance. Anxiety felt like it was stealing everything I loved. So it felt like, what do you mean you don't want me to analyze this? Like, how am I going to be okay? How am I going to be okay? And again, it was just after seeing that this isn't working 1,000 times and then giving it a go and just playing with it and saying, you know, I'm not going to go there right now. Like, I just had a panic attack. I'm going to do something to support myself. Like, let's have some herbal tea, watch a little something, like whatever. And when I didn't play in that thinking about the circumstance place, it was cool. I'm like, wow, that lifted quicker. That anxiety lifted quicker than it normally does. And it was just my kind of first realization, my first insight into, that's what makes the difference. Like, if we're not thinking about it, if we're not ruminating, it gives ourselves time to kind of bounce back. You know, we don't get a chance to bounce back if we're constantly thinking about our circumstance.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was my literal word for word same exact answer. So
you can't copy me.
Like, literal word for word, that word monologue. That whole monologue.
Right there.
So thanks for listening. No, I think it all comes down to thinking though. Yeah. I mean, mine was like a 1.5 things because I don't follow directions. So the first thing
such a special
that
snowflake. That's why.
the first thing that got me even to like come out of my house. Like my little agoraphobia moment was short lived. Comparatively, thank goodness. I just like lucked out there, honestly. But the thing that got me kept leaving the house was connection. I joined that woman's group. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but there was at least one person there that I looked at and said, they get it. And I wanted to see them. Like, I wanted to see that was happening. I wanted to see their during, because it made mine look better, not look better, but feel connected.
Human, like human, right? Like just a little more human and connected. And
a little more human. It was, I didn't tell anybody I was going to this woman's group. I didn't tell anybody. And I went to therapy even. Like I still felt shame and embarrassed, but at least there I could look at if nobody else, I could look at this one person who I didn't even tell my story. I didn't say a word actually, but just hearing theirs, it was like, yeah. And I wanted to keep coming back and seeing that. So that started it. And then I think for me, we both, you know, obviously had health anxiety things, and you helped me understand, you know, my thinking isn't always true and blah, blah, blah. But I think for a while that felt so abstract.
Yeah. It does at first. I'm glad you point that out, because it does at first. It's like,
it felt like, okay, like, what the hell are you talking about? You know? And I like understood
intellectually.
Like I understood what you were saying, but putting that into practice was like, LOL, I still feel pains in my chest. So, you know, shove it.
Yeah.
So I think what helped was I don't know if it was in our consultation, but in one of our first coaching sessions, your nursing background helped a bunch. I explained like, no, I know you're saying this is anxiety and I'm going to treat this like it's anxiety, but I'm also going to go to a cardiologist like 5 times because I don't believe you. And you were like, okay. And then I explained like, I'm having these like random, really sharp pains right in the middle of my chest. And you were like, oh good. I love a sharp pain.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? And you're like, oh, that usually means it's like nothing. I'm like, what? Like, yeah. I mean, you explained it differently than that.
Yeah.
Oh, don't, geez, that was your God, shut up all your pains. But what you had explained to me about, you know, chest pains and how the sternum works and whatever you explained, and gas, how gas works and where the stomach is in relationship to your heart, which is literally like right underneath, and that there are muscles in between my ribs, and when you're stressed out and tense, how those work, and when your whole body is tense, you know, little muscle. You just explained how chest pains could happen.
Yeah. So since health anxiety was kind of your thing, what felt like maybe a game changer was like just having an understanding of how, you know, physiology, right? Like how the body works and why we feel these things. And I like that because it means, you know, our game changers are all different depending.
All different, but it's different, but it's not.
But not
that different because it came down to thoughts. So
it did.
I was able to just build just enough trust in my body that when I had like a random sharp pain, instead of freaking out about it and making my body even more tense, I would sort of like not power through, but just sort of look at it like, oh wait, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Or, oh wait, I had 3 bags of Chipotle chips for lunch. I should, you know, maybe I have gas. Or I know it sounds so stupid, but I didn't know.
No,
because I was so sensitized.
Yeah,
I didn't know that those little pains are actually just like bodily functions.
Just and even to this day,
I'm sure we'll do like an episode on this. But I had like DVT gate the other day. Like even in my current life, like sometimes if I'm like at a 10 with work or whatever, and I forget my skills, you know, and how to like listen to my body, I sometimes get a little reminder like, oh, nope, just kidding. It's just hormones, you know, or whatever, you know. So that was really helpful. And that got me into listening to my body, got me into understanding my thoughts and how they're not necessarily facts. And it, you know what, a friend of mine just said this to me recently. We were talking about this, that it's kind of like dieting. It's not one thing necessarily. You can't just say, I'm just eating all protein now. That none of those diets work when you change one thing like super dramatically, but it's a combination and it's sort of a snowball effect. So once you stop eating donuts 3 meals a day, you'll notice that maybe you stop drinking soda 3 meals a day. And then maybe you stop, taking a nap right after lunch, like I do every day, and go for a 5-minute walk. Or, you know, you start to notice other things when you change one thing. And that's how this worked for me.
An upward spiral.
If I pick one giant thing, it was learning to listen to my body with the very scary health anxiety after panic attacks. If I had to pick like a subset 1A, it was connection. And then from there, things snowballed.
Yeah.
Positive.
In a good way. In a good way. The upward spiral. That's always nice.
Something.
Cool. Yeah. So a little bit of a quick episode, but that's the name of the game with listener questions. We just like to dedicate a few minutes and share our insights and realizations. Again, if other people out there have some game changers that they just want to share with the world, please let us know. We'll be happy to share them through this platform here. That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.